Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you. Thank you for taking the time to spend with us. So we had an exciting week last week, didn't we? I tell you what, most of our shows were all live. We hardly had any interviews that we used. They're pre-recorded except for one. And most of the interviews that we had, if not all the interviews that we had, were just exciting. I mean, I was able to bring a good friend of mine, Mr. David Hunter, into the studio, and he's seen all the banners in here, and he's like, wow. He's like, I should have kept all my banners over my time of preaching and stuff and traveling. And I told him, yep, I keep them for just to let people know when they walk in, this is what we're about. This is the faith that we have. This is the stuff that we believe in. You know, you see these names in India, and we're going to talk about recently with this India crisis, what's going on out there. But you look at all these things on the wall, and you're like, wow. This is an amazing thing. You know, I tell everybody when they come in, you know, the White House was built to show just power and authority when they built it. So when anyone ever, dignitary, foreign dignitary would come over, they'd just be amazed and shock and awe to them. I hope the same thing happens when they come in here and people walk in and they see this authority and this faith of moving in missions. And when they sit down, they understand that's what we're all about, or when they're visiting. But also, another thing which I didn't get to share with my friend, and if he's listening, just to hear me out on this as well, another reason we have these banners up there is for encouragement. Amen? For encouragement, to make my heart leap. Amen? In faith, when I'm doing the radio shows, when I'm doing publishing, when I am doing TV shows, and when I'm not doing much of anything, I can look at the walls and say, hey, I've been out there. I know what it takes. I am being used by God to do great works in his name, in different countries of the world. And I look at these banners and it encourages me that God is faithful. God is faithful to his promises. Over to 1,000 generations, he is faithful. He is faithful. He will never forsake thee, nor he will leave thee. He is faithful, faithful, faithful. So I'm excited about that. Excited about what God has been doing in our ministry and the things that God has done in all the things that we do. I'm just excited to see that he is able to bring forward, amen, bring forward the vision that he has placed inside of me. And you're part of that vision right now. You're listening to us. You're able to be ministered to with us as well. And it's just a good, good fit for all of us. God is doing great things. And when you're walking in your vision, when you're doing the work of the Lord, when you're following God's work, and it's taking you to Africa, it's taking you to India, it's going to take you to Russia and Nigeria and China. Today when I was praying, I just seen oppressed people in China. I just seen just very demeaned people, just discouraged. You know, a lot of times, I'm going to have to get my bucket out again. I'm going to have to get it out again because I keep saying it. That's 5 times I've caught myself on the broadcast here. And if my sons were here with me, they will be cashing in on me. Whenever I say that, I have to pay them money. Yes, sirree. Whenever I say that, they end up getting money from me. So, and they get money from me all the time, but they end up getting money from me at that as well. I want to encourage you. You know, you have, there it goes again. I said it again. My gift, and you have to look at your life. You have to look at your life and see what your giftings are. Many people can come and speak good words over you and make you encouraged in faith and you can be go by that, and some of those, a lot of those times, those are valid. But there's times when you just know that you know the gift that God has called you to do, and what he's called you to do is in you. There's a reason, amen. There is a reason that God gives you a dream. There is a reason God gives you a passion. There's a reason God gives you desires that you, the only one, can accomplish. He's giving you these dreams and desires, and you have to find your gifting. You have to know that God's called you. Everything we do is by God's grace. Amen? But you got to be willing to stand in confidence and faith that He has called you to do this very work. Now, when I look at my giftings, it's encouragement, definitely. I have a gifting of encouragement. I've been told that recently in Nairobi. We were there, and there was a gift of encouragement that was happening that was just so amazing that I mean, it's hard to tell you how this happened and where it happened, but every place I preach, people would tell me, you know, because I would preach the very first session, and that's it. I'd get up and make sure I went out there and did the first session. And if you were on time, now how many of us know in Nairobi, that is a weird, anywhere in Africa, that is a weird term, on time. There's our time and Kenya time. Sabadia time, Nairobi time. So there's just different times out there. And I've heard by many people that they were blessed by me encouraging them. And I pray that you're encouraged every time I come on the air with you, because I know that's my gifting. I know that's my anointing. It's not only in healing, praise God. It's not only miracles, praise God, but it's in preaching. And in that preaching, I encourage you to reach further in your faith, to not give up, to not walk away. I encourage you to stand for the Lord. It's my gifting to make you not only feel better, but be better. You have to change when you hear preachers preach of encouragement and of faith. So know the giftings, and I can see where I could be used in those areas, in different places that are oppressed. I can pray and believe and bring in the encouragement word of the Lord. I could. So I've seen that when I was praying. I just seen just an oppressed people. So keep praying for China. I don't know where. I do have an opportunity to go out there. And I'm just praying for God's timing on that, because that is a very, very volatile place. And I tell you, in every trip, you can get 1,000 invitations, but you need to make sure you're in the will of God. Many times have I gotten calls to go to Pakistan, different parts of Mexico, different parts of the world, and mainly Pakistan. I have no desire to go to Pakistan. It is not what I feel God's called me to do. But I'll support, I'll pray, and unless God tells me in the will of God, in the divine will of God, that I'll be out there. You know, I won't be out there until He tells me. And now India, I know the area. I've served it. I've been a blessing there, and I've seen fruit grow quick. So I know that's God's will. So I will continue to go. And in Kenya, on third trip back, we've already seen amazing fruit. So those things I've seen, and those things I know, and those things I believe that God has blessed us, and blessed us with a great, great anointing and ministry to out there in those areas. So I know the will of God in those places. Just an update on India, on the things that are happening out there. I have pictures that I'm putting together, a reel. We used to call them reels, now we're calling them videos. And it's going to be a promo video of the actual disasters to help raise funds. You can give by going to revmedianetwork.com and just donate. At Revelation Ministries, you can donate as well. And just donate. And just put in your gift when you donate, just put India, and I will know what that means. India Relief, if you want to put that, that's fine. But any funds that we collect this month on the PayPal that is designated for India, it's going to go straight there. And we're going to make sure that it's going to be 100% gift. In other words, that even the transaction fee they take out, or the ministry is going to match and cover, is going to cover those transaction fees to make it a pure 100% gift to get out there. We're really wanting to see some things happen. And we're really, really wanting to see God just move in a miraculous, miraculous way. There's things that you just got to understand about India and Orissa. It's that cyclone, I think it's called Felon, hit hit India's coast. Now, that was the coast that I have preached in that area. I've walked that ground. I have walked that ground many times. And I've seen miracles. I've reaped a harvest in Bhadrapada. I've reached a harvest in Gijapati district. I've reached a harvest in that area. I have been able to preach in churches that no American or foreigner has preached. I've seen God work miracles. I've seen hands grow. I've seen crooked straight. I've seen legs grow. I've seen many blind eyes, many deaf ears open in that very area. But let me tell you this. That is the hardest area to reach the gospel. That is the hardest area to reach the gospel. It is the hardest place for anyone to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the hardest area for anyone to preach the word of God. It is the hardest area that anyone that goes to India will go to Madras, New Delhi, Bombay, go to Hyderabad, go to all these other places, but they will not go to Orissa, and definitely they will not go to the Gajapati district, because it is difficult to see great crowds. It is difficult to be received, and there's Muslims and Hindus that will kill you on the spot for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that is the area that I have been blessed in and have reaped great harvests like no other minister has reaped in those areas. I guarantee you that no other minister has gone there and seen the miracles that we've seen down there. And that is the area that's hit. And all of Orissa is the hardest area to reach, but that area being the furthest out is one of the most difficult. It's on the Bengal Sea, and it is one of the hardest areas to reach. But God is awesome. We have reached many there. This is an opportunity to be a blessing to millions of people. There's 10 million people without homes in Orissa, 12,000 people just in the very small area of the Gajapati district that just completely houses are flooded. People, I seen in a picture of a father carrying his child in a cooking pan, a big cooking pan to move the kid around the flood. He's just like his little boat, his makeshift boat. And the kid's crying and crying. There's people sitting on the sides of the mountain looking down into where their cities, their towns, their little villages are flooded. And you know what? There's no help at all coming to them. They have no help at all. There's no finances coming in. You have to have a shopper just to get to where they're at. All trains and buses and transportation are halted at the Andhra Pradesh border, and anything going to Orissa has to get off the train because they're not going there. The government hasn't helped, and it doesn't seem like they're going to help. The water's not going to go for 8 weeks to 12 weeks. I was supposed to go in December, but I moved my plan to go in February before this event even happened, because I feel this is an opportunity for God to be a blessing. How much more will they open up if we bring the gospel to them? But how much more will they open up if we give them food? If the Muslim, the Hindu, the Christian, and gave them food and gave them clothing and did our best to take care of their children and move their kids to our orphanages, which is 6 hours away, and be a blessing. I need to raise about $25,000 to do some amazing things for these people. I want you to pray about it. I want you to think and see what God has put on your heart. But most of all, I want you to just think about it and ask God what God wants you to do. We have a unique opportunity to reach millions right now for very, very little cost. And we're going to be able to see great things happen for them. But it's not being covered by CNN. It's not being covered by the major news broadcasters. It's not being covered by anyone. We're getting small glimpses. The information I'm getting, the pictures I'm getting, are from my friends for many years that are sending me pictures through Facebook and sending me pictures through email and chatting with me and giving me the reports. I know it's kind of a preachy subject right now. Our address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. Again, that address is P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. Make your checks available to Revelation Ministries, and we'll make sure that gift gets to where it's supposed to be. I'm here, Sherry Kagi. We'll be right back after this.
Back to the ICRS 2013, and I'm with my good friend, Miss Sherry Kagi. Look at us. Hey. And she's excited about being here, just as I'm excited about being here. Mm-hmm. We're like sitting here thinking, what are we going to cover?
I think we've pretty much written the book, right?
Yeah, we've done several interviews already, but you know what? That's fine. And we're going to talk about different things as well. But you know what's been going on since the last visit? Have you been in any concerts, anything like that?
Yes. I think we've had a spring season since we were last together, and so I've been on the road and doing women's events and various and sundry ministry events.
And yeah, so how often do you get called out to do women's events?
It's usually they take place in the spring and in the fall.
Okay.
And so I have some things, you know, already coming on the fall events. I've been doing some, more speaking. I think we might have talked about that.
Yeah.
So speaking on various themes. I did a couple of conferences this spring on the around the theme of joy.
Okay.
Psalm 126. Has this verse, it's our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy, and then just talking about how sometimes we have to choose joy, you know, that that it doesn't always just sort of happen. Sometimes we have to intentionally choose it and walk in it, and so encouraging women in that. And
And so that's pretty good. So have you been out a lot lately in the spring and stuff?
Yes, and then usually summer is lighter. And,
is it usually your events, or you're invited to different events? Or?
Yeah, I'm invited. Churches have me in to be a part of their event, it seems.
And how long have you been doing that?
The women's
thing? Yeah, the women's thing.
Yeah, that it just seems to be more in the last few years that I seem to relate with that audience.
Yeah,
Having been married for 22 years as I was, and now being divorced, I can. I just led worship at a singles retreat.
And how was that for you? And, did you feel kind of odd, or did you?
Well,
feel
it was strange because I had. I could share stories. I could share from a perspective of a single person. To that audience. Some who have been divorced, or some who were widowed, or some who have never been married, whatever. And I even got so bold as to read some excerpts from my journal. Which is sort of dangerous.
Yes, he's really getting dangerous out
there. But to just show, to show a little bit of vulnerability there, because I think that's what people want.
Yeah.
I mean, they want to know you're a real person, that you have brokenness, and that... and yet that you cry out to God in your brokenness.
Absolutely. Yeah, and, because you look at it back in the earlier, like, well, I guess 90s and 80s, there was a facade almost that there was perfect people that didn't have issues. They had it all together. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you still see that sometimes, but it's like you have to know that people are real. People can hurt. You get hurt.
Yeah.
Your feelings can hurt.
Yeah.
Tell us about your album So I Can Tell.
I'm still telling about that album. It's going great. I just did the Praise the Lord show, TBN.
Yeah,
so I went and taped that before their live audience there.
Which one?
Hendersonville.
Hendersonville. Okay.
Yeah, and then it aired, and it's aired a few times since, simply because I'm getting people emailing me.
Yeah, isn't that?
And people ordering.
That's nice. And they're ordering the book.
They're ordering the CD through the website.
So
and
did
I,
you sing?
Yes, okay. I sang
which song?
Two songs, So I Can Tell and There Will Be One Day, and then I had an interview segment with Jason Crabb. But so somebody heard it, because I'm getting emailed people. I think when we're willing to share some of our story, then people feel free. They feel permission to share their story.
They've
never told a living soul, So I've had people emailing and wanting to tell their stories, anyway, I'm just grateful. Grateful to be sharing the fruit that's come in through this album. So
do you like having your ministry that you go out and share with women and stuff like that? I mean, you grew up basically around ministry, right? In songs and stuff.
Yeah. I just sang at a Lutheran church. My childhood church was a Lutheran church,
and
that was the place where God first began. Wooing me, and I remember singing, or playing for the church offertory, so from a young age I was around ministry, and even participated in the services. I was an altar girl, where you light the candle at the beginning of the service and then you snuff it out at the end of the service. I was in the Lutheran
that was
church.
You heard it get so far.
No, never did. Never did. We were safe that way, but. So I guess that's been always a part of my life, and I think I can think of many times. I mean, there were times in my brokenness where I didn't maybe feel like going to church. Mm-hmm. Usually, I love going to church. I love to be there, but there were times where, it was a conscious choice.
Yeah.
But I went expectant, And countless times God has met me if I'll just show up.
Yes, how he does. How it takes a step of faith. It takes you going out and doing something. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I look at what I'm doing. I'm like, okay, Lord, we know we need to get this done. I just go do it. And then that provision comes in.
Yes.
Or that breakthrough comes in. Or whatever has to happen, happens. Mm-hmm. But if I just sat in my living room, it's like, and I tell my family this all the time. It's like, the safest place for me is in the complete will of God.
Oh, that's well said.
If I'm in the will of God, I can be in a jungle. And if I'm in the will of God doing mission work, that's the safest place on earth for me.
Yeah.
Even safer than my own living room because I'm in the will of God.
That's really, really good.
And you have to be like that. So your album has been getting played out at the radio stations and stuff, getting a lot of airtime?
Yes, I'm grateful. There Will Be One Day is the second single we've released to inspo formatted stations. And I actually had back in the day, you talked about the 90s and all.
Yeah.
I had great success at radio. I had 9 number one Christian radio singles and all that. Just means a lot of people have heard your stuff.
Yeah.
And now there's a best of CD with all those hits, but it's a different day. But I had a top 10. So There Will Be One Day made in the top 10 and then top 20 Billboard. And so, so people I think are, responding to that song and, because it's about the hope of heaven the sorrow and the grief that we face sometimes. That's what the song is. Oh God of comfort, comfort me. Comfort me in these sufferings. I need to know you in this grief. It's those kind of lyrics.
Mm.
But then pointing to, in Revelation 21, where it talks about there will be no more tears, or that he'll wipe away every tear from their eye. And it goes on to say, behold, I am making everything new.
Mm.
And write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And that is the hope that we have, that the things are crooked will be made straight. Things are wrong will be made right. Mm. And so
you
just got
the passion when you talk about that.
Yes.
You can feel the passion from your heart.
Yes, that's because good. We long for that. We were made for home. Mm. We're living here on this earth. This is our temporary home. But we were made for our home, our eternal home. And this is just part of our experience, but we are passing through to another life.
Amen.
So we have to make the most, as believers, we have to make the most of every opportunity.
Absolutely.
And draw as many as we can to the love of God through our testimony, through our gifts, through our resources, so there'll be a great crowd around the throne.
Amen. I was telling Sherry before we came on the air that I was been playing her video on the show that we made, the last interview that we had, and her video was, it's like, I think 6 or 7 minutes. It was enjoyable. Oh. It was, you talked about almost every song on there, and it just, it was well made, and we had a lot of good responses from it. So
cool.
I want to encourage you that you, what you're doing matters. It touches people's lives, and God's going to do some awesome things with you.
Thank you.
Encourage the viewers out there. I know that we don't have to go into every single thing we went to last time, but encourage them that, God is a God of rebuilding.
Yeah. I think of another snapshot of another Sunday where it was an Easter Sunday, and I was so broken, walking in such hard places in my marriage, and I went to my home church in Nashville, and Easter is when you're supposed to be, celebrating the risen Lord, and it's a happy occasion. You might even bring in a special horn section for that Sunday, right? But I was so broken, and at the start of the service, they ask everyone to stand, as the music begins, and I just was crying, the tears just coming down my face, and I looked up at my best friend standing next to me, and I said, I can't worship. And she said, it's okay just to receive. Mm. And of all the things she could have said, I mean, I think that was just a word fitly spoken. It's okay just to receive. And so she gave me permission to be in my heap of tears. And then I could begin to listen to the sound of the believers singing around me. And my faith was weak, but I could sort of borrow their faith for a minute and the strength of that. And God was meeting me in there, but just by what she said, and so I share all that to say, maybe that's you. You're in a season of brokenness, and you find it hard to worship. And
amen.
Even maybe you've been walking with the Lord for a long time, but you're in that place, and I want to say it's okay just to receive.
Amen.
And how God brings our stories back around. I was with that same friend in that same church in another, just a regular Sunday, and start of the service, I'm now standing up ready to worship, and she now is the one sitting next to me, and tears in her eyes, and I know where she's walking, where her burden is, walking with a son who has struggled with addiction, you know, and I just kind of leaned over and I said, you know, a wise woman once said to me, it's okay just to receive. And she nodded a knowing, that knowing smile that only can be exchanged between friends. But anyway, so just receive and trust by faith that he will pull you through. And you talked about rebuilding, that that he will restore you once again, and he'll use that specific thing to make you a more mature believer and more effective and useful for the kingdom.
Amen. Give them your website. Let them know where they can find
you. Come visit me. SherryKagi.com.
She's so sweet. She said, come visit me.
SherryKagi.com. It's SherryKagi.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you. We'll be right back.
This fruit is a favorite on American breakfast tables, but not if you're on prescription medication. Eating it can trigger serious side effects and even death. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, back to identify this potentially lethal fruit next.
Privacy is under attack. When you give up data about yourself, you'll never get it back again. And once your privacy is gone, you'll find your freedoms will start to vanish too. So protect your rights. Say no to surveillance and keep your information to yourself. Privacy, it's worth hanging on to. This message is brought to you by StartPage.com, the private search engine alternative to Google, Yahoo, and Bing. Start over with StartPage.
When you think of a healthy breakfast, oatmeal, yogurt, and grapefruit often come to mind. But Canadian researchers now say grapefruit can be dangerous for people on certain prescription medications, especially the elderly. When combined with antihistamines or blood pressure medication, grapefruit can lead to kidney failure, respiratory problems, intestinal bleeding, and even death. An ingredient in the fruit blocks an enzyme in the digestive system that breaks down drugs. When that happens, more of the drugs get into the bloodstream, sometimes at toxic levels. So if you're on medications, check with your doctor before biting into that grapefruit. It just might save your life. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht for StartPage.com, the world's most private search engine.
I don't know about you, but deep within my fallen nature, I feel the burning flame of anger, of hatred. It's in every human heart. It's at the core of all human conflict. Our only hope is the gospel of peace. I'm Perry LaHaye. My friends at HCJB Global just told me about Taseer. He once was a Palestinian fighter trained as a sniper to kill Jews. His hate was so deep, he even taught kids that it was their duty to fight and kill Israelis. Then Taseer met Kareem. Kareem was the nicest guy Taseer had ever met. Taseer couldn't figure out why, and he begged Kareem to tell him. Kareem told him that he was a follower of Jesus, and then he said, Taseer, if you want the same peace that I have, you need God to change your hateful heart. The truth cut deep into Taseer's angry heart, and he surrendered his life to Jesus. Today, Taseer reaches out to Muslims and Jews with the good news of Jesus. Taseer is doing his part to reach Muslims, but he can't do it alone. There are only 3 workers for every 1 million Muslims. So go! Cast yourself in at frontiersusa.org.
Blogger, conference speaker, and parenting expert, Trace Embry.
Could the music your kids are listening to be negatively affecting their relationship with you and with God? My experience tells me absolutely. Perhaps the most destructive and overlooked tool the devil used against teenagers today is what they are being indoctrinated with by way of music. Johann Sebastian Bach said that all music should be for the glory of God and the refreshment of the human spirit. Music is deeply spiritual, and you won't hear that point argued by your favorite rock or rap star either. But the question remains, by what spirit? If a song can cause us to unconsciously tap our foot, can it cause us to make other unconscious decisions, perhaps sinful ones?
You'll find archives of our half-hour weekly version of Licensed to Parent with Trace Embry at our website, licensedtoparent.org. There's no charge, and you can even sign up and receive our podcast via iTunes. Go to licensedtoparent.org. That's licensedtoparent.org.
Dogs that can't bark. A Republican Christian called me and told me the church has no right to be involved in politics because of separation of church and state. I asked if he could name one prophet in the Bible that did not do that. The Bible is nothing but a struggle between sinful rulers and God's law. Separation of church and state, yes, but separation of God and state, no. The solemn duty of every pastor is to speak out against sinful policies in government. American freedom never would have rung if the pastors of the Founding Fathers had been girly men. Satan whispers, "Play it safe, boys. Keep your offerings rolling. If not, your heads might roll like the prophets." Christ is the King of all kings. If all the godly pulpits of America had the guts to speak out, America would be restored in a minute. Let's dump this Gnostic notion of separation of the secular from the sacred. To hear my sermon on dogs that can't bark, go to churchofthekingmcallen.com. Church of the King on Ware Road, just south of Trenton, 585-4402.
Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's got the creepiest looking glass of all? The New York Times is who. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and I'll tell you about a weird scheme to put RFID and voice recognition technology in your bathroom mirror next.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and we're back from the break. And we had our first good segment with Sherry Kagi, and we have someone that I've been excited to get on the show, Mr. Dr. Derek Gurr. How you doing, Doctor?
I'm doing very well. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. You want us to call you Dr. Derek or Mr. Greer?
Folks call me doctor. Some people call me bishop. My wife just calls me dummy.
Hey, your wife and my wife must have went to the same school.
Yeah,
<that's right>. Oh, hey, we're excited to have you on the air with us. And tell everybody a little bit about yourself and about the things that you're doing, and then we'll jump and talk about your book.
Sure. I met the Lord 20-plus years ago as a college student at Howard University here in D.C., and I didn't come from a Christian background, but I met the Lord as a young man, and it totally revolutionized my life. Grace Church, the church that I pastored, we founded it 15 years ago. We started in a high school, and we outgrew every room in the high school except the auditorium, which seated around 1,000 people or so. And it just swallowed us up every week. So we finally, after I think about 6 or 7 years there, we purchased a condominium unit, and we outfitted it, and we built a 300-seat sanctuary there. We moved to the poorest part of our county, and it was intentional. But when we moved, we had a couple hundred people in the high school, but only about 30 people moved with us to the new facility, in a large measure because of the community we moved in. And so we had a $1.5 million project. We had to make this new and, at that time, it felt overwhelming, mortgage. And in the midst of that, the Lord impressed upon my heart that it was time to reach out and reach more new people. And the reality was, I had leveraged my home. We had lent the church $100,000 or so to stay afloat. And the Lord was telling me to go on radio. And it seemed absolutely crazy and absolutely impossible.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, wow.
Yeah. But I knew it was the Lord. We researched it, and it was clear we couldn't afford a 30-minute program. But what we did decide is that we could afford a minute. So we didn't get stuck on what we couldn't do. We found out what we could do, and we did it.
And that's powerful.
Yeah, and what we did with that minute is I took a 50-minute message and compressed it into 60 seconds, and it just exploded throughout the D.C. area. And we're now on all the Christian major stations here. Actually, hip-hop stations now borrow the Ministry Minute, and they have them on their websites for people to listen to. And it's become a little bit of a phenomenon in our area. So, a real desperate situation, desperate times. But I, heard God in that moment and risked a whole lot. But God came through. And the bottom line is really not about a church growing as much as lives being changed. And we've had hundreds of people come to the Lord. And today we have thousands of people in our congregation. It's just 5 or 6 years later. And God's just done a wonderful work.
Isn't it amazing how some of the things God tells us to do in the time that we're in just sounds ridiculous?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
And it's like that moment in the Bible when you say, why are they going to do that?
Right, that's right.
And God did something amazing in there. So your one-minute message, is it available for downloads too for people to
Yeah, you can go to the Grace Church website.
Okay.
And you can get downloads. You can also go to DerekGreer.com, and you can take a look at them. But what 60 Minutes of Wisdom in the second book, another 60 Minutes of Wisdom is, people started asking for written copies. You know, if you're in the radio, you might hear a piece of the Ministry Minute, or you might want to be able to study it at your own leisure. So it's really birthed out of necessity. We got tired, tired's not the right word, but let's just say we got overwhelmed with printing up the Ministry Minutes for people, so we put it in book form. And the first 60 Minutes of Wisdom were simply the first 60 Ministry Minutes. And this book is, again, a compilation of 60 more. And we just took people's favorites, and we put them in book form for people to be able to study, pray, and just seek the Lord as they read the book.
Now, how hard is it to get your message down to a minute?
Very hard. It is. It's so easy to talk on and on and on and on. That's the challenge. You know, we have hundreds of thousands of people in this D.C. metropolitan area that, again, different backgrounds. We have Muslims, we have Buddhists, we have Christians, and then we have, traditional versus untraditional Christians. So we have all different types of people. And I only had 60 seconds to reach a heart. And that required a lot of prayer, a small amount of real estate, if you will. We had to put a whole lot of information into. So God has really, really graced us in that regard, and it's been a very, very effective tool.
Now, do you do the whole minute yourself as far as getting the material together, or do you have staff helping you? Or
no, I do it myself. Actually, I record it here. We're now in our newest building. Now, in our old building, our recording studio was basically a closet, but now we have our own little room and everything to record the Ministry Minute. But it was a great evangelism tool. Lots of people not real open to the gospel have read the book, and actually, you know, a few Ministry Minutes into their reading, they're starting to rethink their thoughts about the faith, etc. Our approach here is absolutely biblical. I almost always, as a scripture, use the foundation for the Ministry Minute. But it's really, our approach has been to give people life skills, to help people learn how to live. And if you live well, you know, you'll establish an eternal reward. And our living successful has a lot to do, has a lot to do with our how we end up eternally. So living life is super important. And that's what Jesus taught us. He taught us how to live. So if we live well, we'll die well. And this book focuses, again, on life skills.
Now, have you moved from just doing 1 minute and doing broader shows now, or are you sticking to the 1 minute?
No, we also do radio broadcasts. We have a half-hour program now, and we're also on television doing some things, the Word Network, as well as ABC locally here in D.C. So our ministry has grown, but I think the Ministry Minute has become a hallmark.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's your brand.
Yeah, sure.
That's awesome. Well, I would love to have your shows and your Ministry Minutes on our programs. We have five channels, so we can flood the airways with your 1 minute show, and then put you on our talk radio as well.
Excellent. As soon as I get out the phone, I'll let folks here know that, and they'll contact you.
Oh, that'll be awesome. So tell us, putting together books and your pastoring a church. That's a task in itself. And writing, and then doing your radio show. How do you balance all that?
Well, the real issue for me has been scheduling my priorities. I don't just work and hopefully get to the things that are important. The things that are most important, I put on my calendar, my schedule. And that includes time with my family, my wife, etc. I will block out a time and say, you know, I will be with my son, I'll be with my wife, etc. But I don't want to over simplify it. It can be quite challenging. I know there's been Saturdays after, you know, 50, 60-hour weeks that my eyes almost filling up with tears. I feel almost like a slave sometimes on Saturday morning. I got to get up before the my kids, and I there's still more work to do, and then I have a full day on Sunday. So it can be very, very challenging, but when I schedule my priorities, make sure that my wife, make sure that my kids are, I know it sounds ridiculous to have your family on your calendar, but I have to do that. And they don't know that they're on my calendar unless they're listening to this program now. But I put them there, and they, my sons, whether I trap them in the car to go somewhere, and we talk. A zillion different things we do, but family first, and that has really, really helped me do some of the other things well.
Oh, absolutely, because I really believe in that. I'm pretty busy as well, and I try, and if I know that I've noticed that fathers that spend time with their kids turn out a lot better than when they're just talking on the phone or just visiting here and there. And so it's important for us fathers and mothers to spend time, whether if it's just watching TV or reading some books or just even cooking. I spend my time a lot with my kids cooking. I love to cook. So just
beautiful.
Wherever you can fit in, you know, it's important. Now, how much of your another 60 minutes of wisdom, how much did you spend on growth on the go?
How much time did I spend?
Yeah, I mean, was that like a huge sermon series? Because it's like your book's almost entirely based on the growth on the go part.
Yeah, all we did was take folks' favorite. It's real easy. The ministry minutes that people enjoyed the most, we put in the book form for them to be able to read and study them. So it was not a super difficult book to write. It was more difficult, I think, to prepare each of the ministry minutes, but compiling them were really easy.
And did you take like a poll or something, or did people tell you which ones
no.
they like?
No, I had folks in our staff, actually. They looked at them, and they also looked at the emails, et cetera, and they gave me a stack of, I think it was down to 80 by the time it got to me, and then I selected 60.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. So it didn't take you long to put it together? And what is the response been so far from people in the bookstores? When was it released?
It's been great. Another 60 Minutes was released October 8th. But we've had people buy whole boxes of books and give them out to their staff, et cetera, because this our history has been, particularly with the first book, there's really not been a whole lot of pushback. Often when it comes to evangelizing and sharing the gospel, you know, people get upset and offended. But we've had bosses buy entire boxes and hand out to their staff, and there was no challenge. In fact, their staff was quite blessed by it. We have people that work in government who will leave copies on the desks of their friends. So the book is designed to help make the gospel make sense to people and, again, give people life skills to live successfully.
Amen. That's a good idea. I mean, people love free stuff, and if you come in and people purchase your books and cases and drop them off at areas they want to influence, that'll work.
Absolutely, and it's easy to read. You know, you're not reading 20 pages per chapter. If you want to, you could read a chapter a day or at least a ministry minute a day. And for 60 days, so it's not high pressure. But I do know some people who stayed up all night to read the book, and they wanted to get to the other end of the cover.
Oh, wow, you can actually treat it like a devotional and just read it daily. That's amazing. Give us some tips on evangelism that worked for you.
Evangelism that works for me. Well, you know, there's a maxim, if you will, John Maxwell. He says people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I think if you want to connect with people, it's important that you care about people. Sometimes the goal of evangelism is just to kind of get a notch on your belt to say, well, you know, I got someone else into the kingdom. Mm. But when people know that you really care about them, that you love them, they're far more open to the gospel. And secondly, it's our lives, really, that give credibility to our message. So as a believer lives in a way that honors God, it opens doors and it makes people, again, more receptive to the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Mm, that's amazing. A lot of people just like to think just preaching is going to be the evangelism, but you show a whole different light on it. Show them that you care about them and that you're concerned of where they're at, and you want to take them further than where they're going right now.
And absolutely.
And that's powerful. So now your church is what size, about 3,000?
Yeah, we have over 3,000 members now. less. We might have about 1,500 a week. We have a lot of people that travel here. We're in a very fast-moving part of the country. And we have three services on Sunday, Wednesday service as well. So we definitely have our hands full.
Amen. Now, is it difficult being in the Washington area and you know, preaching the gospel or trying to influence those that may have political offices and stuff? Is it different out there compared to other parts of the country?
Yeah, but I believe the Lord gives you grace for where he's called you to. And we live in an area that happens to be one of the most educated parts of the country. And with that, there's a lot of intellectuals here. And you'll find people that are inquisitive. They want not just to know the facts, they want to understand the facts. So with that, you have to be able to answer questions if you're going to be effective reaching people. But as it relates to politics, I frankly refuse to really endorse any or either party. I kind of agree with Dr. King. He happened to have been a Republican, and that surprises people for whatever reason. But he was open to both parties because he wanted to influence whoever was in power. And it's important that we are more committed to principle than we are to party. And because I'm married to principle, I can speak to both parties. That has worked very well for us here.
So that comes to my next question. What is both sides bag?
Both sides. Well, that started back, I think it was 2005 or so. We did an insert into the Washington Post, and it was right before the, it was at the beginning of the same-sex movement in the United States. And at that point, I took a position based on scripture according to the teachings of scripture, God intended for marriage to be between one man, one woman. But what I spent the most time talking about in that article was that the civil rights movement was based on genetic factors. It was based on things that can't change. However, the same-sex movement is not based on physical characteristics, you know, color of skin, color of hair, you know, whether you're in a wheelchair, but it was based on behavior. And the issue is, at one point, it was civil rights movement based on, again, immutable characteristics, I believe is the correct term. But now there's a civil rights movement for behaviors. I believe all men are created equal, but I don't believe all behaviors are equal. So that was the genesis of both sides. And what it has become over the years is it's a forum in which people from both sides of the aisle can discuss their points of view and permit the people of faith to assess their positions and also discuss them in the faith context. And that has served worked very well here.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Is that an online magazine or a printed magazine?
Yeah, it's online. You can go to BothSidesMag.com, BothSidesMag.com. Also, this is not a done deal, but we do have political candidates in our state that have been talked to us about possibly doing interviews so they can address some issues that are important to people of faith.
Awesome. That's good because God strategically put you there, and you're able to handle that. I mean, you definitely have the background, and God's raised you up there. So that's amazing, my brother. Tell us, how do you pick the topics for your sermons and stuff? Because you know, the 60 minutes come from your sermons, but how do you get these topics?
Well, the topics for 60 minutes really come out of living. I happen to be a father, husband, brother. You know, bishop, son, boss. I'm just about everything. And, I never run out of things to talk about because I'm constantly applying scripture to my life and my circumstances. So the book and the subject matter of the book, it just comes out of walking the walk and living with God. And if you want to learn to live well, love well, I think it's a book that can be helpful to folks.
Hmm. T- Tell everybody how they can get your book, my brother.
You can go to Amazon.com. You go to BarnesandNobles.com. I believe it's even on ChristianBooks.com. But it's pretty much all the .coms. You can find it. So take a look, get your copy. You know, if you want to grow, if you want to develop as an individual, and you know, folks ask me, you know, what is your secret? We happen to be one of the fastest growing churches in the U.S. And you know, they want to know, you know, is there some formula? The reality is, as I grow, my church grows, and I would not blame my church for its condition. I typically had to put it on my shoulders and look at the man in the mirror and say, well, Father, if I'm leading these folks and the congregation's not growing, that probably means I need to grow. So my goal was not really to have a big church, but to grow as a person and then to try to help grow people. And when you have healthy people that are growing in the Lord, your church will also grow. And that's the way it worked out for us.
Amen, because I've been to a lot of churches that have big facilities and very little people. And I've been to some churches that have big facilities and there's full. But it's the quality of the people that matters.
Absolutely, and discipleship is key.
Amen. Dr. Greer, we're very appreciative for you being on the air with us, and we're very excited about your books that you have, and I'm going to be able to really read this one because I don't get to read all of them. You see how big these other books are. This one I can read. This one's something I can do. Before you leave, just give one piece of advice to those that are needing growth in their life.
One piece of advice. Don't blame your circumstances. It's the man in the mirror. If you want to change your circumstances, you have to change first in your heart. And, you know, it's kind of like the law of supply and demand. Circumstances tend to supply whatever you demand. And if you don't demand certain things of yourself, your circumstances will never change. So change begins on the inside. And it's often the longest journey any of us ever have to take, and it's that journey on the inside. But if we stop addressing other people and our circumstances, begin to address ourselves, look in the mirror, and allow God to do the work that only He can do, we'll start to have better results.
Amen. Amen. Give me your website one more time before you leave, sir.
Grace Church, VA, as in Virginia, .org. That's gracechurchva.org. Also, you can go to Derek Greer, Derek Greer.com, and you go both places and find out about us as a congregation, and also you can find a lot of downloads and a whole lot of resources for you.
Amen. Thank you again, Pastor, for being on the show with us. God bless you.
God bless you. Enjoy talking to you.
All right, bye-bye.
Sure, bye-bye.
Amen. That was Dr. Derek Greer, and we're excited to have him on the air with us, and please visit his website, DerekGreer.com, and you'll be able to see some amazing things on there. I actually went and viewed it and tried to just go through all the stuff that he has. He has a lot of media stuff, everything that you need, and you'll be able to do downloads there and get information to encourage yourself. Remember I was telling you before we started on the second segment, and when it was the top of the first segment, I said that we have to have things around us that encourages us, and that you have to look for your gifting, and that my gifting was encouraging. So is Dr. Greer's. He's able to encourage you to better your life. If I can encourage you, and even Dr. Greer can encourage you to reach out further than you're reaching right now, and to say you can do it. And like he said, I'm glad I asked him that question at the last minute, and it's don't blame yourself. You know, don't blame your circumstances. Just change some things in your life. Change the things around you. And when you start changing yourself, the things around you are going to change. And people are going to be blessed with you. Again, I want to thank my guest, Sherry Kagi. You can visit her at sherrykagi.com, and you can also visit Dr. Derek Greer. I'd like to thank him as well, and thank him for being on the air. Please get his book, Another 60 Minutes of Wisdom. Another 60 Minutes of Wisdom, Church on the Growth. It's a very simple book to read. It is about maybe 88 pages, and you can listen to the 60 Minutes on the air. We're going to have them on our shows eventually, and or you could just get this book, support his ministry and the very work that they do by getting the book and being a blessing. And you'll be able to read this really, really simple. Like you can do one a day. You can do 2 a day, 3 a day, or you can finish it in a couple of days. All right, my friends, God bless you. Thank you for tuning in with us. Remember about my India missions, the India relief that we're doing, trying to help those people out there that are having a hard time. Just trying to figure out the plan, and I think we have the plan down. Now we just have to raise the funds. So just continue to be a blessing and continue to consider helping us do the work of the Lord and just trying to get everything done that we need to get done. God bless you, my friends. We will catch you next time on the Midwatch. Write me, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. God bless.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its hosts.